بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Amongst the importance of Qiyamah, we hear Masajiduhum Amiratun Wahiya Khirab, that their masjids will be flourishing, but their masajid will be void. So there is something that's going to be missing in the masajid that used to be in the masjid, and at the end of time you will find that this thing is beginning to decrease. So there's various explanations that are given to this hadith, but one popular explanation is that level of khushu, that level of calmness and that level of dedication that used to be, that will not be found. Generally, when we hear the word khushu, the calmness of the mind, the calmness of the heart, then we have a misunderstanding of the word. The general understanding that we have is one of the two extremes. The one extreme is this, that when we see a person walking very softly, very gently, and he's looking down with his head lowered, then we say, bare khushu, khushu wale aadmi hai. There's a lot of khushu in him. This is the one extreme. And the other extremist view is this, that we feel that khushu is a state of mind where we don't know what's going on in the world. We're so absorbed in the ibadat, in namaz, okay, we don't even know what's going on. So both these views are not right. The first view is not right for obvious reasons. Outwardly, the man has made his appearance as a person that is dedicated, devoted, humble, calm, etc. Outwardly, he's just assumed that appearance. Whereas khushu is related to the calmness of the mind, of the heart. It's not an outward appearance. Right? Walking gently, walking softly is something that is good. Yamshuna ala al-ardi hauna. The servants, the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, when they walk the earth, they walk gently. That is a different thing. But khushu is a totally different thing. And generally people get these two words confused. Walking calmly upon the earth, softly, gently, they mix this up with khushu. And the other explanation also is incorrect. The other feeling where people feel that khushu is a kayfiyat, is a state where you get so engrossed and so absorbed in thought, in namaz or whatever, that you don't know what's going on in the dunya or ma fiha. And the reason why it's not right is, at times Rasulullah would perform namaz and he would hear the crying of a child. And upon the crying of a child, Rasulullah would shorten his namaz. So if this state was matloob, the state was desirable, and this state was something to be acquired, then the first one who would have acquired this was Rasulullah. In spite of him being engaged in namaz, he would still be able to hear the crying of the child. Now this is, by the way, that if someone has this state of mind, we will not say that this is wrong or it is good, but it's not something to be desired, something to be searched for, something to be sought. Someone has this, then it's good. You hear of incidents of a pious person, that his leg is supposed to be amputated, and he says that when I am in namaz, then you may amputate my foot. Right? Because when I'm in namaz, then I don't know what's going on. So this in itself may be good, but it's not something to be seeking for and not a criteria But if you've got it, then you say, no, I've got khushu. And I don't have it, then I don't have khushu. So this is where the confusion comes about. So this state of mind, khushu, is such a great thing. Before Qiyamah you will find that the masajid will be flourishing. Flourishing either in the structures, in the beauty, whatever. Or flourishing with musallis. There will be a lot of musallis. But the hearts will be void of that khushu. That type of dedication, devotion, concentration, that will not be there like what it used to be. And mind you, if you look at the world in this present day and time, then it is taking the same direction. Right? You see the type of food that we eat today, processed food, right? The poultry or the meat that we eat, right? Force-fed. You take one chicken that is force-fed, battery chicken, and you take a free-range, so call it Zulu chicken, right? It's a free-range, and this is force-fed. And compare the energy content in both. There is a zameen asman fark. There is a world of difference. Right? There is a world of difference. This one here looks big and healthy, etc. But it's got no power, it's got no energy in it. And that thing doesn't look very big, but it's full of power. That one egg that you'd eat free range. That free range, not that which is sold in the supermarkets, real free range. You eat that, compare that against 10 other eggs. There's a world of difference. Just if you eat one, you don't need to eat eggs for 10 days afterwards. It's got so much of stamina. So the whole world is taking that type of a direction presently, that outwardly everything must appear right. It must seem nice. The heart can be rotten, can be decaying. There can be filth in the heart. That's all right. But outwardly everything must seem nice, must seem appealing. When we talk to people, then outwardly it must seem nice. How are you? You're being hospitable to a person. How are you welcome? And I'm cheered to meet you. I'm honored to see you. So outwardly we are showing that type of gestures of respect. But really the heart is void of all these things. Not that the outward gestures of respect are not required. The outward gesture of respect is also a requirement. You see an elder, you see someone, then you respect him. Outwardly you use the words of respect. Right? But more than the outer is the inner self. Allahumma ij'al sirri khayram min alaniyati. The hadith says it very clearly. Allahumma ij'al sirri khayram min alaniyati. Allah Ta'ala, make my inner self better than my outer self. If outwardly I seem to be good, then oh Allah Ta'ala, inwardly I must be even better. Outwardly I seem to be a humble person, right? So really, within my heart I must be even more humble. It mustn't just be an outward appearance, an appearance of humility. I must be really humble. So this khushu refers to this inner condition, the condition of the mind. The condition of the heart. So in this day and age, there is emphasis on rectifying and correcting, right? But unfortunately, the correction and the rectification is more or less confined to the exterior. Everything on the exterior. So on the face of the person, I can tell him a lot of things, you know, like you, and I'm honored to see you, etc. But within the mind, oh, this burden had to come again. This person had to come again. He's got no other work. But outwardly, I'm showing a different front. And my inner self is saying something else. Whereas the Islamic teaching is that the inner self must be even better than the outer self. Right? Otherwise, in the words of Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah, he says, "Ye to Europe ka gulab hai." Someone showed him a flower. He said, "This is a Europe ka gulab hai. This is a rose flower, but of Europe." In other words, the European style is outwardly everything must be pleasant, nice, etc. And really inside doesn't have any scent, any fragrance. That rose doesn't have any fragrance. Outwardly it seems very appealing. But really what is desired in the rose is the fragrance. And it's minus the fragrance, so what is the value of that rose? What is the good of the rose? Someone says, "Wo gul kya gul hai jisme boo nahi." That rose can't be called a rose, but it doesn't have that fragrance. Or wo dil nahi jisme tu nahi, and that heart cannot be, which doesn't contain Allah Ta'ala. That heart cannot be called a heart. It's not, it doesn't deserve to be called a heart, which doesn't contain Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Someone asked Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Alayhi that in this Mubarak month there could be other works that could be accomplished. Someone could go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, right? Someone can do some other more rewarding work. For example, you can go out for Umrah, you can go to Baitul Muqaddas, right? So then what's the need of coming to this type of majlis and this type of gatherings? What is the need? Outwardly, the question seems to be very pertinent, right? It seems to be a pertinent question that you can get something more rewarding, right? Going out in the path of Allah is a very rewarding thing, obviously. Going out for Umrah is a very rewarding thing. But then leaving these type of work, right, and coming at a gathering of this nature, what is the need for it? Muhammad's answer was very precise but very comprehensive. His answer was this, that we come to these type of gatherings to learn how to acquire the maximum in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We come here as a training ground, that when we go for Umrah or for Hajj, whatever it may be, we learn how to acquire the maximum in these places. Otherwise, we'll go to these places and you'll see that the person is making tawaf, but we're talking of the heart, you see. The heart is in everything else, he's occupied in everything else. Hey, I'm overweight, man, you know. In the tawaf you are thinking now, I'm overweight. And you're holding the gilaf of the Kaaba Sharif, Allah Ta'ala, you know, I'm overweight. So just see me right, you know, that the customs check, they don't harass me, they don't trouble me. Where is the mind? Where is the heart? Where is the heart? The heart is somewhere else, it's not by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's in the goods. Right? Your mind is not in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is in the thing that you love. Your mind and your heart is in the thing that you love. Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah says that I was at the Kaaba Sharif and I seen one person holding and clinging to the Kaaba Sharif gilaf. Then for a moment I reflected in his heart and I found there wasn't a moment wherein his heart was void of the love of dunya. His mind is filled to capacity with the love of dunya. And I seen this myself. A person is holding to the mulzazam gilaf. He's holding, Allah Ta'ala, mujhe maldar bana do. Allah Ta'ala, make me wealthy. Outwardly, he seems to be a wealthy person already. The fact that he could come for Hajj or for Umrah, he's already wealthy. And here, the type of dua that he's asking, Allah Ta'ala, give me that wealth. So Allah Ta'ala becomes the secondary thing, and that wealth becomes the primary thing. Right? Now, if you are interested in a woman, and the woman discovers afterwards, you know, you tell her so many words of praise, and you like this, and you like this, and you like this. And then after she discovers that this man fell in love with me, not because of myself, but because of my father's wealth. It was my father's wealth that his eyes were set on. And that is why he showed me that type of love. It was my father's property that this man's eyes fell on, and he showed me that love. What happens to that love? Does that love remain? It doesn't remain. Okay, I don't mean anything. I'm not anything significant in his sight. It is my father's wealth that is significant in his sight. And this man is just waiting for my father to go so that he can grab hold of the wealth. See? So that love doesn't mean anything. So similarly, when our eyes go in different directions, then our heart is not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's on something else. Now we need to go to these places, but with our hearts filled with capacity, with the love of Allah ta'ala. That when we are at these places, then we are achieving what we need to achieve at these places. We are taking the type of blessings that we need to take. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi, he was proceeding for Hajj. Right? It was a Nafal Hajj, and he was proceeding for Hajj, and on the road he met up with a buzurg of the time, perhaps it was Qutbuddin Bakhtiari rahmatullah alayhi. So he asked him, where are you going to? Are you going to the Baytullah, or are you going to the Rabb of the Baytullah? Are you going to the Baytullah, or are you going to the Rabb of the Baytullah? So Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullahi understood the message. He says, agar tu mujhe Rabb Bayt se mila de, to phir mujhe jane ki zarurat nahi hai. If you can join me up with the Rabb Bayt, the Rabb of the Baytullah, then really I don't need to be taking and undertaking this journey yet. If you can join me up with the Rabb of the Baytullah, then I don't need to be undertaking this journey. Because I'm going so that Allah Ta'ala must like me. But I haven't learned how to gain that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to gain that blessings of the Kaaba Sharif, the blessings of Madina Munawwar. I haven't learned. For everything there is a key, you see. And failing which you can't start it off. You've got the motor car, but you don't have the key. You've got the house, but you don't have the key to the house. Can you enjoy from that house? You can't enjoy from the house. You can't enjoy that motor car. So the key of these places is the heart, right? And the heart needs to be fixed up. It needs to be corrected. That is fixed up. It's corrected. Now you are going to these places and you are achieving the maximum. They may be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have those type of hearts, that they go to these places and achieve what is supposed to be achieved. We do make that exception. There are those, the servants of Allah Ta'ala, who have those hearts. But then, if you look overall, you look at the general behavior of the people that go there, it's totally different. As Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that the Baytullah has got such a khasiyat, it's got such an effect. It's got such an effect that the one that makes tawaf around it, he is sealed with the type of emotions, jazbat and feelings that he comes. He comes with feelings, for example, with the love of the world, excessive wealth, for example. He comes with that type of feeling. With the type of emotion and the feeling and the sentiment that he comes, he is stamped. So when he returns, you will find those feelings, those aspirations, those type of sentiments that he had come to, now that sealed on him, that becomes even more manifest. Before it was discreet, now it becomes manifest. Before you heard, alright, this person, he loves wealth. But now you can actually see his behavior. Alright, there is halal, haram, any type of business, any type of wealth, he is going towards it. Then it's namaz time, no namaz time. He's not concerned about it. His primary concern is his business. There are those situations. Don't we hear of that situation? So now, lately the Jamaat came here. They were giving a Kalguzari. They went to one place, somewhere in the Transkei. And the person was a so-called a learned person, Hafiz, whatever it was. And his tools were just ringing all the time, extremely busy. And when the Jamaat approached him, he didn't even have the time to speak to the Jamaat. And he says, you're talking about yourself, me not having time to see you. I don't even have the time to even perform my Jumma namaz. You say you are complaining that I can't talk to you. I don't even have the time to do my Jumma namaz. So now, you made the Hajj, you went out these places, and you came out. When you came out, now that true colors that were concealed within you, now they are exposed. They are coming out to the fore. They are coming out to the surface. So the need of the time is, andarun ko banane ki koshish ki jaye, that we make our inner selves. Parents are most concerned that outwardly our child must not suffer. If there's a picnic, the child must go, right? Otherwise we feel that the child's morale will be low all the time. Right? If there is an outfit that is going, the child asked for it, my friends have got that outfit, then I need to have that. So we'll see to it that the child is given that type of outfit. He needs to have a holiday, we'll give him a holiday. Why? That his morale mustn't be low. Right? If the rest of the family, everybody else is going for a holiday, wherever, then the child must also be taken. So for the same reasons, whatever he wants. So outwardly, we are making the child. He's happy, he's cheering outwardly. But did we create inner values within the child? Real, true Islamic values. Did we create those values in the child? Or we just look towards the outer values, the outer aspects of life. Quran Sharif complains about mankind. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The outer aspects, the outer dimension of the life of this world, they know it very well. The outer dimension, how to acquire wealth, how to enjoy material, etc., how to progress materially. So we have learned that. And we have passed that to our children as well. And outwardly they are enjoying, they are comfortable, they are relaxing, they are in luxury, outwardly. But really, is the heart right or is it rotting? Is it decaying? And the more important thing, obviously, is the heart. If the heart is right, now the equation is complete. That the inner self is right and the outer is right. You've got an orange, big size orange, but it's got no sweetness. Right? You've got honey minus the sweetness. So much, some big jar of honey you've got. But the sweetness from it is extracted. Is anybody prepared to purchase it? Nobody. Nobody is prepared to purchase it. So this khushu we're talking of, that calmness of the mind, calmness of the heart. Right? Allah Pak complains about the Bani Israel, that they were the pious people, and thereafter the progenies, right? And they were evil people. خَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ. There was a, this people that succeeded them were evil. But what was the very element that brought their destruction? Again, this khushu. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ. They didn't have that type of khushu in salah. That calmness, that dedication, that devotion they didn't have. The ulama explained that in order to get that salah right, in order to get that khushu and the type of dedication in salah, right, you need to have three or four things. For everything we pay a price, right, to make that world of ours, right, to make that business of ours, to make that factory of ours work, or to make that house of ours beautiful, right. We make an effort, a dedicated effort. We need to have it and we will have it inshallah. And we work towards it. We work positively, constructively, and we get it. And we know the price that we have to pay for it. 4 million, 5 million, whatever. But we pay for it and eventually we get up there. So we pay the price. So this is namaz. And that namaz will make that entire life. It will give you that entire correct, true direction in your life. So shouldn't we be paying the price for that namaz? But the namaz is going to give you that direction. The namaz is going to give you, the jihad is going to give you a direction to your life, then isn't there a need to make that namaz? For the zahir, bale zahir to jane hai, wale batin to kya jane? Says, the outside we beautify it very beautifully, everything we have done. But that inner self of namaz, have we done it? Or have we totally ignored it? So in order to get that namaz right, there's three or four things that we need to get right. And these Bani Israel, that destruction came to them. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. The destruction came to them because of them destroying and ruining the salat. But now, what made them, what caused the destruction to the salat? What caused the ruin to the salat? what was the thing that caused that ruin and that decadence through that salat. So there's three or four things. One is, in order to get that namaz right, one is that namaz has to be done in the proper order. No matter what comes before you afterwards, it's business, it's your parents calling you, it's not an emergency, you just attend your salah. Whoever can call you, shop is calling, business is calling, whatever is calling, but it's not an emergency. An emergency, it's a life-threatening circumstance, obviously, then you will attend to that, right? But other than that, no, there's nobody to stand in the shop, and nobody to stand here, and I have to fill in the hours. No matter what excuse you've got, it's not an excuse. Whatever excuse you've got is not an excuse. So the first thing is adha of salah. They didn't perform the namaz at the proper hour. That mustahab time. The time that the namaz had entered. Now these challenges will come. Obviously you have to pay a price. For other things you pay a price. For namaz, to learn it, to perfect it, to correct it, you have to pay a price for it. So the first is that to read and perform the namaz, as-salatu fi waqtiha, at the proper time, right time, mustahab time. Number two, to get this aspect of khushu and to get this salat perfected, the second thing that is required is to get the postures of the namaz right. Now, how many of us take the pains to get the postures right? Or it is that same salah that we inherited from our childhood. We inherit from our grandfather and we continue with that same salah. In our business, do we have that same type of mentality? Do we have that mentality? No, well, my grandfather used to do business like this, so I do business in the same way. Do we have that mindset? No. So now we have to improve. Times are changing, we have to correct, we have to improve, we have to progress. There, we are very quick to talk about progress. But in namaz, so the second aspect is a namaz. Are we doing it peacefully, calmly? Or are we just rushing through it? Two youngsters, they used to have it out amongst themselves. If you want to see who can perform the namaz quicker, you see. So they come and finish the namaz in no time. So one person is observing them. He says, looks like they read all the du'as and the qirat at home and they just came to do the postures here. So is it just a fulfillment, just completing those postures? Or is it a real salah? Is that namaz a real namaz? Has it got some life in it? Has it got some feeling in it? You are making sajda. Are you making sajda with that feeling that my entire body is now prostrating to the Rabbul Alameen? One is you feel a feeling of happiness that the Rabb of the entire world, imagine the whole world, the whole universe, is not like a 1 cent piece in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, such a great, glorious creator we have got. And we have got the honor to prostrate before Him, to put our heads down before Him. Right. So that frame of mind that the entire body is going to ruku, that frame of mind that the entire body, the entire jism, the entire body, kumu lillahi qanitin, is standing before Allah Ta'ala in total obedience, in total subjugation, total surrender. That frame of mind, you're starting off the salah, that now I have dedicated myself entirely to Allah Ta'ala. I've left everything behind me. All the world I've left behind me. I am dedicating myself totally to Allah Ta'ala. Do we at least try to create this type of feeling of mine? The feeling of mine that this perhaps is my last salah. I may not get the chance to perform a second namaz. Salli salata muwaddi'in. This is the last namaz. After this, perhaps I will not get the chance to perform another namaz. Do we endeavor to create this type of mindset? Right. So the one thing is this, that perform the namaz on its proper time. Number two, get the postures right. Calm, cool. It's a time to meet the beloved. And the time that you meet the beloved, it must be the choice time, best time. You are pining to meet. And now, do you want that meeting to be this short? For a long time you want to meet the beloved, and now you got the opportunity to meet the beloved, you're just rushing through it. See? What will the beloved say? That this person doesn't have the time for me. He's just showing a formal aspect, a formality of love he's going through. he really doesn't have the time for me. He really doesn't have the feeling for me. But you're doing it properly. Right? You're doing it properly. Now the man has got, he's got time for me. So this is the second aspect, that we get the postures right. The third aspect is this, that we perform the namaz with jamaat. No matter where we are, but we perform the namaz with jamaat. Obviously now you're in safar, etc. That is an exceptional case. But other than that, we are performing the namaz with jamaat. Now look at it, this namaz, how much do we destroy? Now we're talking of going for hajj, etc. And then we miss out some of the farais. We miss out, we don't attend to this aspect, that are we going there with the right frame of mind? The right mindset. If you want to go with the right mindset, obviously you're coming back right. But you're going with the wrong mindset. If you're going with the wrong mindset, then it's just a formality. You're just going through the formalities, just going through the motions and coming back. That way you're going for hajj or whatever you're going for. And on the plane you're watching television. Music is alright as well. And that air hostess that's there, you're talking to her also quite comfortably. Namaz time is going. Faraz namaz time is going. Are you not concerned about it? So if you're going for nafil hajj like this, then it's better for you, a million times better, that you perform your faraz namaz than going for one nafil hajj. If you know only the seriousness and the importance of one faraz namaz, then it's better that you remain home and be regular on your faraz than going for a million nafil hajj. In English we say, we can't be robbing Paul to pay Peter. Are you robbing the namaz to go for umrah or to go for hajj? Is that right? You think to yourself, like as I say, there are exceptions. If we see someone coming, then don't say, this another person came from umrah or hajj, and he's also just went to complete the formalities. No. Each person should look within himself. In the khanqa zindagi, the khanqa life is, that you look within yourself, you x-ray yourself, don't look at the next person. You don't look at the next person, look at your own self. So it's an internal x-ray. As I say, our behavior, our conduct, it gives us up. Don't you hear so many times, there was a case here, one person says that, I was parked in a masjid lot, someone was reversing, he knocked onto me. He admitted guilt, it was his mistake. And he asked me for some quotations, etc. Formality I completed, and I showed him the quotation, the lowest quotation is what it comes to. Initially he agreed. But then when that lowest quotation I showed him, he blankly refused. No, I can't do this. I can't pay this. And in the next week, he can take his entire family out for Umrah. This obligation, this faraz is left suspended, that you violated this person's right. And you're going to be answerable for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without which you'll not be able to gain entry into Jannah. Right? That you're not concerned about, but the concern is now that entire family must be taken for Umrah, which is not a compulsion, it's not an obligation, whether you took them or didn't take them. Allah is not going to ask you about it, but He's definitely going to ask you that you violated this person's right. How did you compensate for it? How did you cover up for it? He's definitely going to ask you about that. Now, when we don't have these elements in our behavior, in our conduct, obviously our namaz is going to deteriorate accordingly. Proportionately, the namaz is going to deteriorate. Everything, when that namaz deteriorates, then everything else in the human being also begins to collapse. Everything else. Allah speaks about this Bani Israel. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ. The first thing that they ruined was their namaz. They destroyed the namaz. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And when they ruined the salah, then as a result of ruining their salah, they became enslaved to their temptations and lust. But if you build up that salah, now you'll find that you can restrain that nafs. Nafs can be restrained. It can be controlled. Your eyes is controlled. Your tongue is controlled, your ears are controlled. Otherwise you'll go right to the Haram Sharif and the whole day you'll be watching television. One person was exiled, you see. And being a high ranking person, so he preferred to be exiled in Makkah Mukarramah. His friend went to see him, the whole day would pass just admiring the young girls that would be passing by. The whole day. Don't we have these things happening? We have it all the time. In the Haram Sharif, we'll find youngsters are admiring young girls. Young girls. One person came into Warren Buzug when he saw a whole group of Indonesian women sitting together. So he's admiring them and he's saying, "Kya masoom chehre hai? What innocent faces. So innocent." In the meanwhile, the shaitan has got the better over him. He's become a captive of the nafs and shaitan. And he's covering up for his piety in this way, covering up for his sin in this way. Kya masoom chehre? Masoomiyat unke chehron ke upar se tapak rahi hai. Innocence is just dripping off their faces. He's drowning in the haram, poor chap. He doesn't even realize that I'm drowning in haram. So really, we don't know the recipe. We don't have the key of gaining the type of favor and blessings from the Haram Sharif. We don't know how to get it. So we come back. When we come back, then we are worse off than what we went. We went still went well. But when we're returning even worse than we had gone. So the need of the time is learn how to go there. Learn how to go. Learn how to behave. Learn how to correct yourself. Otherwise, eventually what will happen, you see, we blame the West, right? We blame Europe, America, etc. But on the day of Qiyamah, Shaitan will also say, "Inna Allah wa'adakum wa'ad al-haq, fala talumuni wa lumu anfusakum." So they will also say, blame yourselves. They are looking for money, right? They are looking for wealth. Right? And in search for wealth, they will look at your sentiments. They will look at your inclinations. What are your inclinations like? Right? When they will see the Muslim market is looking for these type of things, then they will make it available right in the haram. Now you step one step out of the Haram Sharif, and you will see this is an amusement center, an advertisement for an amusement center. What? Right, one step of the Haram Sharif, and you got it. See? So you don't blame this kuffar for that. You blame yourself. They look within you, that what are you inclined towards? What are your temptations? What are your sentiments like? When they saw that you have got these sentiments, then they made it available. For them, religion doesn't mean anything. They worship wealth. And when they saw that you're also turning in the same direction, they are looking out for the wealth. Well, I can get wealth here, so let me make it at these places, at these points. Now you're going right there for tawaf, and your mind is drowned, is absorbed in that entertainment center. That after the tawaf, you will go to the entertainment center. We'll go to the shopping, we'll go to this mall. Ke dunya bhar mein kahin aur entertainment to nahi kar sakte the, Makkah Sharif ko aaye taaki entertainment kar le. You couldn't go and do your entertainment elsewhere. You couldn't find any other place. You found the suitable place to do your entertainment, Makkah Mukarrama. You wouldn't have a soccer tournament, have it in Makkah, have it in Medina Munawwara. See how we lose the respect, the honor of these places. The honor and the respect of the places, we lose it ourselves. We can't blame the kuffar for it. We have created these type of aspirations and these feelings. They made it available. When they made it available, we are going there and then we are swearing them. So it doesn't add up. If we had good feelings, right, and we had good aspirations, then they would have cooperated accordingly. Now, for example, a lot of people want to wear kurtas, right? So you'll find the kuffar are sewing those kurtas and making it available for you. Because they know the market. The market wants kurtas, so they'll make it available. But if you want the wrong, they'll make that available also for you. See? Their god is wealth. And they will then prepare that for you. They'll make it available for you. They'll see what the market wants. And they'll make it. They'll go accordingly. So the idea for coming into these places is to learn. To learn what? That when you go to, for example, Masjid al-Aqsa, we're going out in Jamaat, we're going out to the Haram Sharif, wherever we are going out, that how to take the maximum benefit from the Jamaat, how to gain the maximum benefit from the Haram, from the Masjid al-Aqsa. Otherwise, if we don't learn these things here, then before going, then we have a whole list of things. You must get this dress from here, and that auntie will say you, and go and trade in your old jewelry, my old real jewelry, get this jewelry. And this abaya is not available here in South Africa. That abaya is available at that particular shop near Makkah Mukarramah. The name, the address, everything provided. So we are going with that different type of mindset. I don't say that shopping is haram. But obviously, if it is the topmost thing on your mind, that I'm going there, I'm going to get this, in your tawaf you have got that concern. In your ibadat you have got that fikr. Whilst you, right by the Rozai Mubarak, in the presence of Rasulullah, they are supposed to be asking for Jannah, etc. You're supposed to be asking for. And what are the things you are asking? What is the behavior? The namaz is going, you got the cell phone on, and the music is going, nobody's concerned. So what have you left of the Haram Sharif? Don't you see these things in the tawaf, near the Multazam, someone's cell phone and the music tone is going. Right at the Rozai Mubarak, the thing is going. So if we don't show the respect to these places, then we can't expect these kuffar to show respect to our places. You know, that Islam ko aag laga hai. See, the fire has got onto Islam from the Muslims itself. The destruction, the ruin has come, not from outside, not from without. It's come from within. But we lose the respect. When we lose the respect, then we can't expect them to show any respect to Islam. So this is the reason why we come out here, that we make a humble effort to make that heart, to clear the mind, to bring the purity of that soul. And when you have got that purity of the soul, purity of the heart, you have got that type of khushu, khuzu. I told you some elementary things of how to get this khushu. There are other things as well, but just one elementary thing I told you, that get that namaz in the proper time, get the postures right, and number three, I said, perform the namaz with jamaat. It's an elementary thing. The other things as well, and the fourth thing I explained, that at least perform the namaz with this mindset that perhaps this is maybe the last namaz. The fifth thing I explained, that when you perform the namaz, in the standing posture, I am standing in obedience to before my Creator. Just that mindset. I'm going to ruku, my entire body is lowering itself for Allah Ta'ala. My entire body. I'm going to sajda, my entire body is lowering itself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My entire body, my nose, my face, my arms, my body, my feet, everything is lowering itself before Allah ta'ala. So with that type of mindset, at least this is the minimum requirement, right? This is the minimum requirement for a start. And after that, inshallah, you can progress. If you are consistent on this, Allah ta'ala will inspire your heart. The other things also that will enhance this type of khushu, and it will make that namaz worthwhile. And two rakats namaz thereafter will be more worthy, will be more virtuous than 100,000 rakats performed by someone else. You perform the two rakat namaz with that khushu, etc. With that dedication, then it's more valuable than 1,000 rakats or 100,000 rakats performed by someone else. And the simple example to illustrate it, is someone has prepared 20 different varieties of food, and each one is spoiled. Burn this one here, add a tomato masala, tomato salt on the other one. All is spoiled. Everything, the last one is spoiled. And the other one prepared just one meal and he prepared it well. Which is more valuable, the 1,000 or this one? Obviously this one is more valuable. You will eat this, you will not eat this one. It's all spoiled. It's rotten, decayed, masala is not right, whatever. This one you will prefer over the rest. So by the same token, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, it is that quality that counts. What is that quality that you have put into that salah? So these five things at least you bring in that salah, at least it will be a starting point. One is perform it on time. Number two, get the postures right. Number three, get it with jamaat. Number four, with the frame of mind that perhaps this is my last salah. Number five, that when we are standing, then we are standing with the frame of mind that my whole body is standing in obedience and I'm surrendering to Allah Ta'ala. I'm surrendering myself to you. You know, you hands up. Hands up for what? You surrender, isn't it? So with that imagination that I'm surrendering, whatever you say now, I'm not going to do any movement of my own, any thinking of my own. Allah Ta'ala, I'm submitting myself. I'm surrendering myself to you. Going into ruku, Allah Ta'ala, my whole body is lowering itself before you. Going to sajda, Allah Ta'ala, my whole body is making sajda, prostrating before you. So this is the minimum thing that is required for a start. And afterwards, Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, will inspire your heart to get greater and higher levels of khushu, higher levels of dedication, higher levels of concentration. Once the salat is right, you'll find other things of your life will be right. Your business will become right. See? Your eyes will become right. Your ears will become right. Your tongue will become right. Everything else will be falling in place. But if that namaz is not right, then everything will definitely go off. One person was serving Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, and the cup fell off. So Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah told him, "Are bhai, abhi tak teri namaz durust nahi hui?" When he dropped that cup, Maulana says, "Your namaz has not been rectified yet. Now, what is the wrong and what is the link? The wrong is the cup falling, and Maulana is saying that namaz is not right." In other words, Maulana is telling you that if the namaz is right, everything else will go right in yourself. But if that namaz is wrong, everything else, whatever you try, everything is going to fail, by the way. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.